Philippians chapter 3.
Philippians chapter 3. And I'm going to read verse 9. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Father in heaven, I pray that you would lead and guide us tonight. Show us from your word what it is that each of us as an individual can benefit from. In Jesus' name, amen. There's two kinds of righteousness. This verse talks about them. Mine own righteousness. We call that frequently self-righteousness. And then, of course, there's God's righteousness, which is in the latter part of the verse, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Self-righteousness is hypocritical. It's arrogant. It's selfish. And though sincere, self-righteousness is nevertheless achieved by good works. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 talks about mine own righteousness. But I'd like you to look, if you would, at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse 3. Romans 10, 3. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Again, that self-righteousness. Going about to establish their own righteousness and not the righteousness of God. So you have self-righteousness is one kind of righteousness that's spoken of. And then the other one is God's righteousness. Now, I realize this is not new to you, okay? I understand that much of what I'm saying here, at least thus far, are things that you have heard before. Now, there may be for some that these are some introductory thoughts, but self-righteousness versus God's righteousness. Well, how does a person, we know how we get our own righteousness, okay? We know how we go about being our own goodness, you know, and what we kind of things we do in order to establish ourselves in the eyes of others as being, we being righteous. But how do we receive God's righteousness? Because that's what it's talking about here. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness. Maybe you do not know how, because that's what ignorant means, without knowledge. Okay? Many times we confuse ignorant and stupid. Okay? But ignorant is without knowledge. And that's what it says here in verse 3. They being ignorant without God's righteousness. And because they do not know about getting God's righteousness, many times people go about trying to establish or get righteousness, make themselves look good, make themselves look righteous, make themselves look religious. And that would be true when I like I said, it can be hypocritical, it can be arrogant, selfish, but there are those that are sincere in trying to get their righteousness. I think this would be true of people who are in a church, in a religion, wherein they have been taught that they need to please God by good living. And because they are sincere, they are going about to establish their own righteousness. And they're not trying to be arrogant. They're sincere. Sincerely wrong. But because they've not been taught the Bible, they don't know different. And neither did you before you were taught the Bible. And so, they being without knowledge of God's righteousness, and they're going to establish their own righteousness, and they have not submitted themselves. So how do we receive God's righteousness? Now we're in Romans chapter 10. Boy, this water is extra cold. This is good. I don't know where that came from, but that's good. Maybe I don't want to know where it came from. Well, where in the bathroom is the thing? Yeah. All right. Romans chapter 10 and verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And we're going to stop there. There's more in the verse, but we're going to stop there. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Now, with the heart, doesn't say with the mind, doesn't say with the brain, okay? But it says with the heart. Now, that doesn't mean the heart that pumps blood. I think we would all understand that. It's referring to the inner man of God, the part of man that is able to communicate with God and has not only the emotions and the feelings, but it has the capacity to communicate with God. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. Now, again, we often, when we think about the matter of believing, we would be thinking about something to do with the head, with the brain, with the mind. But here it tells us and makes it very clear that it's with the heart that man believeth what? Unto righteousness. Now, this would not be man's righteousness, because God doesn't help us to establish our righteousness. Isaiah, God tells us in Isaiah that our righteousness is as filthy rags. So God is not going to help us to establish our righteousness. And as we saw in Philippians, it's a matter of God's righteousness. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And so how does a person receive God's righteousness? Faith and trust. When we talk about this matter of believing, okay, it's not a matter of the head. It's not a matter of the function of the brain, but rather it is that which would be involved with the heart, with one's faith or trust in God. I've heard it said already that faith is the New Testament term. Trust is the Old Testament term. That when you read in the Old Testament, you'll read the word trust, and man is to trust in God. When you read the New Testament, you'll read that man is to have faith in God. They're dealing with the same thing, you see. It's a matter of the inner man bringing and coming to a place within himself that he depends upon God. You see, because when you say trust, when you say faith, how would I describe trust? How would I describe faith? I would use the synonym of depend. Because if I am trusting in God, I am depending on God. Mm-hmm. You see, all of what is needed for me, for my life, That is necessary, I'm depending on God to provide that. I'm trusting him to do it. In the same way, you can use the word faith. Now, there's much more that can be done to describe and to define, okay, the matter of trust and faith and what I'm doing. But faith, if I have faith in something, it's difficult to describe some things without using some words. If I have faith in something, I believe in it.
That's right.
You see? And so therein, faith and belief are not necessarily the same thing exactly, but they sure do overlap an awful lot. Okay? And so if I say, I believe in Jesus Christ, I have faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I believe in the historical truth of Jesus Christ. Yes. Okay. But when I say I have faith in Jesus Christ, I'm doing more than just believing. Because when I say I believe the historical truth of Jesus Christ and accuracy of that, now that's more of a function of the brain when it comes to a matter of saying that what the Bible says is historically true and accurate. Okay? But I trust what it declares regarding Jesus Christ for what? For my salvation. This is not just an exercise in religious belief, but this is a matter of one's relationship with God. And so what we're talking about when we're talking about salvation, we're talking about a relationship with God. Now, look at verse 10 again. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So it's with my heart that I depend upon what Jesus Christ has done to obtain my relationship with God. What Jesus did on the cross, what he did in his resurrection, what he did in what he teaches us. All of this, I with my inner man, I accept this more than just my head. I believe this with all that is within me. and with the mouth. Now, that very distinctive part of the body, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Now, confession, the context determines the use of it. In general, you have heard me state how that confession, when you confess something, it's more than just admitting it. It's a matter of agreeing with what God says about it. And so confession, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. In this sense, the confession is made unto salvation carries with it the acknowledgement that I believe in my heart. You see, my belief in my heart, that's my relationship with God.
Right.
You aren't involved with that. It doesn't matter what you think about that. That's between God and me, with my heart, not my heart and your heart, but my heart, okay? With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth, confession's made unto salvation. Now, that's when what I declare to other people about my faith, okay? Declaration of one's faith is how the confession here is being used. With my mouth, I declare that I believe in my heart Jesus Christ. Now, confession with the mouth is in one sense an effect of the faith. I confess what I do, and it's an effect of my faith. I have faith. And as a result of having faith, here is what I say. Here is what I declare. And it's in this sense that you would hear people refer to having a profession of faith. They are declaring that they have, with their heart, believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're confessing with their mouth. They're acknowledging with their mouth that they have believed in their heart. And so it is with this belief in the heart, okay, that we receive righteousness. That's what he says here in verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, John 1:12 says, but as many as believed him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. As many as believe him. As many as receive him. Okay? As many as receive him. But now here is where the receiving, okay, how do we receive Christ? You believe with the heart. That's what it means to receive Christ. Now, I may express that belief in my heart by talking to God. I may tell God, I believe in you. I believe you sent Jesus to die for me. I believe, Jesus, that you died for me. I may tell him that in prayer. Now, you and I know that we're not saved by praying. We're saved by believing. But our expressing that, okay, indeed, if you're expressing that to God, that's prayer. Doesn't have to be with the mouth. The work of your mouth is to other people. You confess to other people. You declare to other people that you have believed in Jesus Christ. That is your testimony, you see, what you declare to other people. And now, let's look at some other scriptures here. And this has always been the case. This is not just something in New Testament. I'm reading from Romans, but this is not just something in New Testament. If you look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, of course, has often been referred to as God's hall of faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4. By faith, by dependence, by trusting, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. But all of this relationship that Abel had with God, how did it come? By faith. By his depending on what God had instructed him to do, and he did it. Now, how do you have a relationship with God? Same way. By your depending on what God tells you, and that you then do it. You then follow it. You've heard me give my testimony. I was 15 years of age. I heard the gospel preached, and I responded to it. I depended on what the Bible said. Now, listen here, listen to this. I depended on what the evangelist said God said.
Amen.
Okay? Amen. And that's how you got saved too.
Amen.
You depended on what an individual told you that God said he would do.
Right.
Only you had to come to a place where you did it. Okay, and so faith is so significant, and that's true with Abel. Now let's look at verse 7. Verse 7, by what? By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the what? Righteousness, which is by faith. God gave Noah some instructions. Noah accepted them. He did them. He depended upon them. And God called that dependence and that action on his part faith. And as a result of it, he says that he became an heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. And so you and I become an heir of righteousness. Now, let's go back to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Because in Romans chapter 4 and verse 3, we read about Abraham. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Abraham depended on what God said. Abraham acted on what God said. And because he depended on what God said, and because he did what God said, it was counted to him for righteousness. And so when Roger Hain depended on what God said through the evangelist, when Roger Hain acted upon what God said as declared by the evangelist, what happened? God gave him righteousness. Now this has nothing to do with me. It did not have to do with my understanding. At 15 years of age, not having grown up in church, I didn't understand lickety-split. But now I understand that there was a third person of the Trinity called the Holy Spirit who was working in my life. And whatever that work was that he was doing, though I didn't know boo about it, I responded to it.
Amen. Glory to God.
I think back now, it was such an infantile response. It was such an ignorant, without knowledge response. But nobody gets saved by what they know.
That's right.
Nobody gets saved because of who they are. They get saved because when the Spirit of God says you're a sinner, you agree with him.
Amen.
And when he says Jesus died for you, and you know you needed somebody to die for you because you know your own self wasn't righteous enough to die for you, and you accept him as Savior. That's, my friend, salvation.
Amen.
That salvation dependent upon the Word of God and faith in Jesus Christ. Now, Romans chapter 4, I want you to look at verse 6. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. There it is. There it is. Do you see it? When Roger Hain depended upon what God said, and when Roger Hain did what God said about getting saved, then just like David, God put righteousness into my life. Imputed righteousness. Imputed righteousness is when the righteousness of Jesus Christ, that we are treated as if it were our righteousness.
Amen.
So when it says there, God imputed righteousness without works, he did that for David. Now David was a great man. He was a man, the Bible says, that was the apple of God's eye. And David was a special person. But listen to me. He's no different than you are when it comes to this.
That's right.
He didn't get any saved any differently than you. He didn't get any more saved than you got saved or can get saved. Don't you look at these Bible characters as if they're something, you know, like they're a superhero. Like kids look at what are all those super characters?
Avengers.
Who?
Avengers.
The Avengers, yeah, that's what they are. I see the advertisements, but I'm not interested enough to try and remember them. But David, what do we say? He put his skirt on the same way you and I do. Oh, we don't put skirts on. What do we say about men? You know, this man, he's no different than us. He puts his pants on the same as we do, one leg at a time. I said that to a fellow one time. He says, I don't do it that way. I said, you don't? No, he said, I sit in a chair and pull them both up at once.
There you go.
You get the whole point of it, I expect. You get the whole point of it. That is, we're saved the same way, all by faith. Abraham by faith, David by faith, Noah by faith, Abel by faith, and all of that chapter of Hebrews 11 is faith. Now, next week, I think I'm preaching next week. I'm having trouble keeping hold of our schedule, too. You know, I wasn't ready Sunday morning for Sunday school. Last night, we were sitting, we ate supper, and when we were done eating supper, I said, I got to go to the office. I remembered that I was preaching tonight. I almost would have forgotten it. And I came out from being in the office and getting ready, and I said to the family, oh, well, this is what almost happened. And I said, I don't think I could have handled it 2 weeks in a row or two times in a row. But faith, we're going to look at this matter of imputed righteousness. You see, when it comes to this righteousness that we get from God, we have our standing in righteousness, and we have our state or status in righteousness. One has to do with our position with God. The other has to do with our practice for God. Now we go back to Romans 10:10. We believe with the heart unto righteousness, that's our position. We confess with the mouth, that is our practice or our status, our state. Of our Christian life. We'll explain that more then. Right now we're going to go to prayer. Men into the back room and ladies out here as usual.